Beginning a brand new series, and it's called Plug In, an imperative statement. And we're hoping that, yes, that you would plug into the church and that you would plug into Bible study and discipleship, but more importantly, that you would plug into God this year like never before. Amen. There's such a power that is available to us as believers. And many a times we walk around defeated. We walk around powerless. We walk around letting the enemy get the best of us, letting him kick our tail from one end to the other. But as a Christian, as a believer, you have power, amen? And that power comes from God, and he lives on the inside of us. And so today we want to talk about plugging into God's power, and what does that look like in our lives today? So what is God's power? That's a hard question to answer. How can you encapsulate all the power of God into words? And so while my words will fail for sure because we cannot put God in a box, let me just give you a definition of what power is according to the Greek word. Dynamis, strength, power, ability is part of the definition. We have several aspects of this definition. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Do you know that in and of itself, in and of himself, God, power exists? In other words, he spoke and the world was formed. How many of you guys have done that lately? You spoke planets into existence. Nobody? God did. God spoke and planets formed. God spoke and there are mountains. God spoke and there are creeks. God spoke and there's you and I. This power, it didn't come from any external means, but it came from himself in and of God. He spoke and of himself it came. So we see this power that is inherent of himself, this power to perform miracles. How many of you ever seen God do a miracle in your life? Amen. Whenever I was young, this was I was a young child, and I had pigeon toed. My feet used to be like this, believe it or not, and I used to walk like this. And Pastor Brother Leroy Champagne prayed for me at the time, and just the Lord really at that moment corrected my feet, and it was a miracle. It really was. It was an incredible miracle, and I can't say I actually walk without tripping, but I'm better at it, amen, than what I was. I thank God for it. God is a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's done miracles back then. He can do miracles today. Amen. His power has not died. His power is still alive. And it's up to his people whether or not we believe that his power still exists, right? So his other definitions include power for excellence of soul. See, whenever we think of moral excellence, we think of God being the standard of righteousness. In fact, he is righteous. And so in order for this power to enable us to live morally, it comes from God. In other words, God enables you to live right. We cannot live right on our own, right? We need help. Anybody ever try to do all the right things, but yet you still fall short, right? We need God's power in our life. He is the standard of righteousness. He is righteous. Amen. And so from him and of him, we are sustained. We have the power for moral excellence. We have the power and the influence which belongs to riches and wealth. You know, the rich that are in the world are there because God said so. Those who are in position of power are there because God said so. This is a different type of power, but yet this power comes from God, and he establishes rulers, and he establishes kings, and he establishes presidents, whether or not you agree with them, whether or not you like them, but they're used for God's plan and according to his purpose in the earth. He establishes those things, and he sets those things up. This is power in and of himself. And then one more, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces of hosts. If we think about God's power in a military perspective, there is no enemy that can stand against the power of our God. Amen. There is no force, there is no darkness that can overthrow God. He is all powerful. Amen. There is your enemy that you are facing right now, that obstacle, that mountain that you are facing right now, cannot stand against the power of your God. Amen. 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 And so there's nothing that can stand against God. He is all powerful and he is all knowing at all times in and of himself. And you know, God's power has been active throughout the world since the beginning of time. There's never been a start to God's power. There ain't a finish to God's power. You know, we're so confined to time. You know, we have a beginning and we have an end. But God, there was no beginning with God. He's always been and he always will be. And his power always exists. Always exists and will continue to exist from now until forever. If we look back in the space of time, so we see that, yeah, not only did he, his power created the earth and all that is in it, but whenever we see this rebelliousness in the earth, that God's power also destroyed the earth with water in the days of Noah. Because they were so sinful and because they were so wicked, God, by God's power, he caused the waters to come up. By God's power, he caused the rains to come down. By God's power, he wiped out the entire earth except for Noah's family. A little later, after they get out the boat, it was by God's power that he brings out the children of Israel from Egyptian captivity. It was his power, demonstrating his power, that Pharaoh was no match for God. Amen. As hard as his heart was, he was no match for the power of our God. Throughout scriptures, we see time and time again, God just demonstrating his power. And then he sends his son, Jesus, to the earth. Hallelujah. He sends his son, Jesus, to the earth. And you know that Jesus walked in that same power. He was 100% flesh and blood, just as you and I are flesh and blood. Whenever they hit him with a whip, his back cracked open just like yours would. His blood flowed out just like your blood would flow out. He was 100% flesh and blood, but yet he was 100% God. He walked in the power of God, the living God. Everywhere he went, the first thing that he did was turn water into wine. Then we see other miracles where when it came tax time, he calls upon a fish. It says, yes, that's what I'm going to pay my tax money, my taxes with, is the money that came out of a fish. Now, wouldn't that be awesome, right? We're approaching tax time, and everybody's throwing their fishing pole out there in the water right now, trying to catch that fish that would pay for their taxes. Jesus just said, yep, let that fish bring forth the taxes for both yours and mine. Amen. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that he fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000 and had tons of food left over. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He walks on water. He heals the blind eyes, the paralytics, the woman with the issue of blood, the mute, the deaf. He cast out demons. Everywhere he went, he walked in the power of God. And then we come across this scripture in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 11 through 13. And this is just absolutely remarkable because he says, believe me that I am in my Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So first off, the reason that Jesus is performing such miracles is because he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. In other words, the two are one. The three are one, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. So he's walking in the fullness of the power of God. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that the works that Jesus did, let's just take a minute to think about that. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but yet he's saying, the works that I did, even greater works than I did, you will do if you believe. The one prerequisite to seeing the miracles and the power of God in your life is believing. He didn't say you have to sit up, sit down, lay down, stand up, sit down, lay down, sit up, sit down, lay down, stand up. In other words, you didn't have to work for it. He says you simply believe. First of all, it's not your power by which anyone is healed. It is God's power, right? And so if we believe in Jesus and we believe that he is the Son of God and that he is in the Father and that the Father is in him and Jesus lives on the inside of us, amen? If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that same power is living on the inside of you, where you can cast out devils, where you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, where you can walk on water. I don't know if you can or not, but go ahead, try it out. If the Lord tells you to, if the Lord tells you to walk on water, then do it. But the point is that the power is available to you, and Jesus says, look, greater works you will do than I have done because I am going to my Father. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? That he would trust us with this power. And he would say, I want you to use it. In other words, I want you to have access. I want you to believe. Why? It's not for your glory. It's not to make a name for yourself. It's not to get rich off of the affliction of others. But it's for the glory of God. Look at what it says. It says in verse 13, it says, whatever you ask in my name. That encompasses everything. Like, whatever encompasses everything, right? What is the hardest thing that you could imagine right now that God would answer? Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Whatever you ask. Then he says, I will do this so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so the miracles, the power, it's not for us. It's not for us to be glorified. It's not to make a name for ourselves, but it's so that Jesus is glorified in our lives. It is so that the world will see Jesus glorified in our lives. It is so that sinners will come to repentance whenever they see miracles coming from your life. They will say, I want that. I want that power that you have. I want to be used as you are used. And so the power is given to us to impact the world around us. You know, if people are being healed whenever you lay hands on them and they take notice of that, that's a life change. That's something that they cannot deny. Amen. And so when we consider the life of Jesus, that's what he did. He went from town to town, place to place, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons, and their lives were changed forever. And it brought glory unto God. Amen. And so the power is there for us. It's there for us as believers. And Jesus is saying, I want you to ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we talked about what is God's power. Now we want to maybe shift gears a little bit and say, why do we need God's power? Like, why we can't just let the pastor do it all? You know, why we just can't let the leaders at the church do it all? Why do I have to have God's power in my life? Ultimately, again, it's to bring glory to God. You can reach a certain people that I cannot reach. While you are on the job, while you are in school, while you are at the grocery store, you have an influence on people that I do not have. And the Lord has put you at that place. He has put you on that job. He has put you in that school for a reason. And so the reason is not just to go through the motions. The reason is to be a light in the midst of darkness. And in fact, that's what we we're kind of leading on to, hopefully I'm not jumping ahead too far, but the Lord has called you to be a light in the midst of darkness. Amen. So in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, he says, "And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" So the purpose for Jesus healing this blind man was so that God would be glorified. Only God can do that. Only God can open the blind eyes. Only God can heal the deaf ears. Only God can raise the dead. Brings glory unto God. But it's necessary for us as believers to walk in the power in our lives. And this world needs to see it. All they see is darkness. It doesn't take much to, you know, you could turn the news on and in 5 minutes, you would be so overwhelmed because there is so much darkness in the earth. There's so much corruption in the earth. There's so much, everywhere you turn, there's darkness, and it can be so overwhelming. This world needs to see some light. This world needs to see believers filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would say, "Oh, that person is different. There's something different about that person." You were supposed to say the F word right there, but you didn't say it. There's something different about you. You're turning your head away while we're looking at all this nasty stuff. You're different than us. There's something different about you. Yes, because we are called to be a light. Amen. So we have this little light right here as an example. Now, as long as everything works. I checked it out beforehand. Everything works. But if I was to click it a couple of times, nothing's happening. You know, like, what's up with this, you know? So I can tap on it. I can kick it. I don't want to kick it too hard. It's for the ladies. Sorry. Nothing happens. You know, click it 100 times. Nothing is happening. I have no light at all. And why is that? Exactly. I'm not plugged in to the power. I'm not plugged into the power. And so the way electricity works is we have a nice little panel over there in the back, and power is fed to the panel, and it comes all the way through the conduit, and it comes into these little receptacles. And it's not until I actually plug this thing in to the power, to the source that is beyond itself. Oh, now we have power. Same is true as a child of God. You have no power in and of yourself. You have no power whatsoever, so it is necessary for us to plug in to the power source. Amen? We need to plug in to God's power, not our own power. You've seen what our own power can do. It's nothing. Our own power produces nothing. But when we are plugged into the source, then we can be a light to all the world. Then our light will shine bright. In fact, Jesus tells us to shine bright. In Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." You are the light. Why are you the light? Because Jesus is in you. And because he is in you, that light is shining bright. You are the light. Now, why does this world need a light? Again, because there's so much darkness in this world. They need you to be a light. Your extended family needs you to be a light. I know it's difficult, and especially around holidays when everybody else is drinking and everybody else is partying and everybody else is blaspheming the name of God. God put you in that family to be a light. God put you in that surrounding, in that environment, to be a light. But, again, you have to be plugged into the source. You have to be plugged into the source. Now, John chapter 9, verse 5 says, this is Jesus speaking, "As long as I am in the world, I am that light." So while he walked in the world, Jesus was that light. But guess what? He has ascended to the throne of God, and he has put within us the Spirit of God. Therefore, as children of God, we are called to be that light. You might be the only Jesus that your family sees. You might be the only Jesus that this world will see, that your coworkers will see, that your boss will see. You might be the only Jesus. So how are you representing him? Are you representing him well? Are you being that light? And we cannot be the light unless we are plugged in to the source. So we want to plug in to be a light. We want to plug in to walk in the power of his might. So I try to make all these things rhyme. Hopefully you guys appreciate that. Maybe, maybe not. All right. Plug in to walk in his might. In other words, we're nothing. We're nothing without him. Just accept the fact that you are nothing, and it'll make life so much easier. You know, we like to think that, oh, I got to where I am because of all my hard work. I got to where I am because of all of my talent. I got to where I am because I'm really somebody. No, you're really nothing. I hate to break it to you. But as soon as you can realize that I am nothing and that God is everything, that's when you are in a position for God to really use you in a powerful way. Amen? Because he will not share his glory with anyone. He will not allow you to steal his glory from him. And so he needs a heart that is humble and contrite. He needs a heart that always magnifies Jesus and says, God, I am because of you. You've made me what I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human wisdom. And I can say, yes, that is me. I don't know why God chose me, but he did. Consider the foolish things of this world. I'm just a nobody from nowhere. I grew up in Chauvin, Louisiana, down the bayou. I'm nobody from nowhere. He says, I'm nothing. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Now we're going to pause for a minute and just think about this. Brothers and sisters, think about that. Think about what you were before you were called, or right at your calling. Were you influential? Were you full of love, full of God's love, abounding in love? Come on, you remember that. You remember before Christ called you out of darkness. Who were you? What kind of person were you? Now look at your life now, and surely you can say it was God. If you have any influence at all, it was because God had made you influential. If you have any wisdom at all, it was because God made you wise. If you have any financial status of any sort, it was because God made you that. As you begin to be faithful in your finances, as you begin to apply the word of God in your life, the Lord added to you. I was nothing right before Christ. But yet, look at what Christ can do. Look at what Christ can do. Amen. He goes on to say, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Amen. Paul goes on to say, like in a couple of chapters later, he realizes, and if we consider Paul's life and how influential he was and how powerful God used him, and the power just flowed through Paul. In fact, they would take handkerchiefs from Paul's body and bring them to the sick, and they were made whole. How many of you guys want that kind of power working in your life? Well, people are taking their shirt off of your body and say, I'm going to bring it to so-and-so because they need to be healed. Hopefully you have another shirt on underneath. I didn't fully think about that as I went through this. But you know what I'm saying? Is that the power of God was working in such an incredible way through Paul. But look at what he says in chapter 15, verse 9 through 10. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. You know, you are what you are because of the grace of God. The power that's working within you is because of God. I am what I am because of him. Amen. You know, apart from being plugged into the source, you know, we're nothing. You know, we don't have any power. But as we are plugged into the source, we can hold on to that verse in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, who empowers me. It is his power that is working in me and through me, and I can do all things through Christ. Amen? Amen. His power, not mine. We must understand this. So then we're going to plug in to be a light. We're going to plug in to walk in the power of his might, not our might. We're going to plug in to live right. All right? That's right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, it says, for this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in order to live right, we don't even have the power in our own selves to live right. In fact, the Old Testament, whenever the law of Moses was given to the children of Israel, they proved over and over and over again that they were incapable of fulfilling that law. And I believe that's what the law came to do. It came to make us aware of the fact that we're incapable of saving ourselves. We're incapable of bringing about our own righteousness. We need a power that is from God to help us to live right. In other words, we cannot even live a life, if we're looking at back in these scriptures, a life that is worthy of the Lord to please him. We cannot even please God without his power working in us. Because our mind is so carnal, right? Our mind automatically drifts to carnal things. It automatically does what the flesh wants to do. If left to itself, apart from the power of God, we tend to do our own thing, right? We tend to live for our own self, our own pleasures. It is the power of God that comes in and begins to change you and changes your desires. It causes you to want to live for God. That is God's power working within us. So we cannot even live a life that is worthy of the Lord unless we have his power living in us. We cannot even bear fruit, as the scripture says, in every good work if we don't have God's power working within us. A verse to accompany that is John 15:4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, what is your favorite fruit? Just kind of shout it out. I heard dragon fruit. Wow. Anybody else on this side? Peaches, bananas. So I love me some satsumas, right? Man, nothing like a good satsuma as long as it's nice and sweet. I just love satsumas. But if I was to go to a satsuma tree, and, you know, maybe there's a satsuma just kind of on the ground. It's not really connected to the tree, but it's not quite, you know, a fruit yet. That thing will not grow anymore. That thing will not become any more sweeter. It will not become any more ripe. You know, it might ripen up, but as long as it's connected to the tree, as long as it's connected to the tree, it's getting the nutrients that it needs. It's getting that water it needs. It's getting everything that it needs as long as it is connected to the tree. And how foolish can we be if we think that, oh, well, I can walk in the power of God but not be connected to him? but not abiding in him. Oh, I can walk in God. I can overcome sin and temptation all by myself. But yet I'm not spending any time in the Word. I'm not spending any time in prayer. I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. How are you going to do this on your own? He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, and then he goes on to talk about the knowledge of God and then having endurance and patience. You know, I want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. And so that requires endurance, that requires patience, that requires going through tribulations and persecutions and everything that we will go through to hear those words. And I cannot possibly make it to the end on my own strength. Though I am pretty strong, my wife will say, I am pretty strong. But I cannot make it to the end on my own strength. I need the power of God in my life. Amen. So if we are to endure to the end, if we are to make it, we need him. We need to plug in. Amen. Next one. So we're going to plug in to be a light. We're going to plug in the power of his might. We're going to plug in to live right. And we're going to plug in to fight the good fight. That's it. That's all the rhymes I got for you today. Thank you. So we're going to plug in to fight the good fight. I mean, we fight a real fight. There's a real battle that's taking place. You know, the enemy does not want you to live a life that is pleasing unto God. He doesn't want you to raise your kids in the house of the Lord. He doesn't want you to live right at all. In fact, he is the enemy of your soul. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That's what he comes to do. So Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Be strong in his might. You know, if you think that you're going to fight the devil and win on your own strength, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. The devil has power. It's a limited power. There are rankings in this power system. But you stand no match against the powers of the devil on your own strength. He will win every time. But if you're standing with your armor on and you're standing in the power of his might, not your might, then the devil cannot stand against you. He has no chance against you because you are not walking in your might, but you are walking in his might. You're not walking in your own power. You're walking in the power of his might, and he cannot stand against you. Put your armor on. Grab your shield. Grab your sword. Put your helmet on. Stand in the power of his might and watch God fight for you. A lot of times we want to fight it ourselves. The way we fight. God, I can't do it. I need you. I need your strength. I need your might. My might has failed. I need you right now. That's how we fight. Fight on our knees. Because we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has already won. He said, it is finished. Whenever the last words on the cross, it is finished. That battle you're facing right now, it is finished. The blood of Jesus covers you. He gives you that which you need to overcome that right now in the name of Jesus. It's finished. No devil in hell can mess with you. Amen. Because he is victorious. There's no one who can stand against him because he is our conquering God. There's no one who can match him because his power is limitless. Amen. He is our God. He is our King. He is our Lord. Look what he says in Luke chapter 10, 19. He says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Let that be in your soul this morning. I'll read it again. "Behold, I have given you," point to your neighbor and say, "I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing can stand against you because you are standing in the power of His might, not yours. So what does it mean? And I'll give you this real quick. I don't want to jump too much into what Pastor Jeremy is going to be, call you Pastor Jeremy, but Pastor Jeremy is going to be speaking next week. How do we plug into His power? It starts with a personal relationship with the Lord. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Are you in constant communication with Him? Do you speak to Him daily? Do you allow Him to speak to you through His Word, through His Holy Spirit? Do you have that constant communication in your life? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? If not, Every battle you face, you're going to fail. You need to be plugged in by having that constant communication with the Lord. Secondly, I would say that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just once, and not just twice, but often. You know, like whenever you drive in your car, that eventually, you might fill it up and it's on full. But you're going down the road and you go up hills, you go down hills, you go through neighborhoods, and eventually that full becomes empty and you need to refill it again. We need the constant filling of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. Now, I believe that, whenever you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. He quickens you and He causes you to live right. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a day, the day of Pentecost came, and it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power." We want the power. Here's the key. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power is tied to the Holy Spirit. The power is tied to being filled with the Holy Spirit. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Not just so it starts here, Jerusalem, your neighborhood, then it goes to the outermost, Judea and Samaria, then it goes to the utmost parts of the world. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to overseas missions. Perhaps He's calling you across the world to go minister somewhere. You need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to know that, to understand that your mission is different from everyone else's. Or perhaps it's just to go across the street to a neighbor. You need the power of the Holy Spirit so that He will quicken you, that He will give you the right words to say, that He will give you the spirit to say it in. Maybe it's to go to a coworker. Maybe it's to go to a fellow student. Again, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. Amen. So we need this constant filling in our lives. And then my third step, I guess, would be to imitate Christ through obedience. Whenever you feel that prompting from the Holy Spirit to do something that may be outside of your comfort zone, take that step. Walk in obedience. Obey the Lord. And the more that you obey, the more that you obey Him, the more that He will trust you with even more power. You know, the Bible calls us to be faithful in the small things, and He will make us rulers over much. That's in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. I'm asking you to do this simple thing of obedience. Are you willing to do that? And watch my power be released in your life and through your life. Then he will ask you again and again, I want you to step out in obedience, and the power will be released through your life. You know, every time that the Lord was about to do a miracle in someone's life, he would say, stretch forth your hand. And the guy, he had a decision. Would he stretch forth his hand and be made whole, or would he say, oh, it sounds kind of weird, and you know, my hand's withered, and I can't really stretch it out. I'm not going to stretch it out and miss out on what God was wanting to do in his life. There is an act of obedience that the Lord calls us to. And so whenever we examine this again, we see that Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him. But yet at other times he says, I can only do what I see my Father do. I can only say what I heard my Father say. In other words, Jesus was in total submission and walked in total obedience to the will of his Father. And perhaps the Lord's asking you to maybe do something simple, like lift your hands and worship. Like, God, I don't know. I didn't put deodorant on this morning. You know, we make up all kind of excuses, right? God, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. Maybe he's asking you, hey, clap your hands.
Yeah.
God, I don't really want to do that. You know, what will people think about me? The simple things. And as you are faithful in those small things, watch God begin to entrust you with even greater things. And he will cause you one day to lay hands on the sick and pray a prayer of faith and believe that God would heal them. It takes faith. It takes obedience to do something like that. But it starts in obeying in the small things. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning. We need God's power in our life to be a light. We need God's power in our life to walk in his might, not ours. We need God's power in our life to live right. And we need God's power to fight the good fight. Amen. We're going to have a moment where if you just need the power of God in your life, you know, we see examples in the Bible where, you know, the man of God laid hands on the people of God and they received the power. I believe in that. I also believe that each and every day, whenever you ask, the Bible says we have not because we ask not, that you can ask of the Lord to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit and that he would. Amen. Perhaps you're struggling with whatever it is, maybe an addiction, maybe a temptation that constantly gets you. You ask God, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this. Fill me with your power. Fill me with the power to be faithful. Fill me with your power, Lord, to be a witness. Give me boldness. You know, whenever you first share your faith with someone, it's a little intimidating. You need God to quicken you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to be a witness. So we just want to invite you to the altar real quick. If that's you, if you just want the power of God in your life, we're going to pray with you. We're going to have our prayer counselors come. If you guys want to come as well, you're welcome. And we're just going to pray and believe and just that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if not, then you are dismissed. But I pray that you would just go in the power of the Lord. Let's just for a moment just receive all that God would have for us. Let's just for a moment believe that God is wanting to use us in a greater way. That he's called us to be more than just pew warmers. He called us to be more than just mediocre Christians. He wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a fire. He wants us to be passionate about the things of God. He wants us to be a witness and all for the glory of God. He wants to set us on fire so that we would burn as a light before this world. Come on, it's not enough just to come on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays, but we are called to be a light in the midst of darkness, and there is too much darkness in this world. There needs to be a light. There needs to be a revolution of Christians that would rise up and say, I want to be used by God. I want the power of God to be in my life. If that's you, would you come to the front? We're going to have our prayer counselors pray with you and believe that God will fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you feel like you need to go, then you are welcome to go. Thank you for coming. We love you. May God be with you in Jesus' mighty name. But if that's you in this place, would you just come? We're going to pray and believe God for you. Lord, let your power come in this place. Lord, let your power come in this place. Lord, fill each and every person, Lord God, who's coming to the altar. Fill them, Lord, with your power, Lord, today in the mighty name of Jesus. Fill them, Lord, with your power. Power to be a light. Power, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to walk in your might. Power, Lord God, to live right. Power to fight the good fight in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this place. Come on, if you're out there and you're wanting to stick around, would you just maybe lift your hands and worship? Stretch your hands towards the guys, to the people who are up here, and just welcome the presence of the Lord. Come and have your way, Lord Jesus. Come and have your way, O Lord. Come and have your way. Jesus, mighty name. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Jesus, mighty name. Fill us, Lord, with your power. Fill us with your power. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Okay. just want to thank you for all that you have done this today in our lives. We worship you. We worship you. Be with your people, oh God, as we go out. Help us to walk in your power each and every day. Lord, we are your people. We are not defeated. We have the power of the living God living on the inside of us. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, we just commission your people to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Amen. Give him praise. Come on. Give him praise. You're going to be shouting louder than that for the Saints game. Give him praise. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him praise. Lift up his name. Lift up his name. Exalt him, oh God. We exalt you, oh Lord. We exalt you, oh Lord. Be magnified in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed. We love you guys. We hope to see you Wednesday, 6:30. Men, we're starting a new Bible summer series, the book of Ezekiel. You want to be here. Women, we have Bible study as well. Momentum. Go be with the Lord. Go in the power of his might. We love you. Have a great day. In Jesus' name. Amen.